design. Why are there different marine protected area designations, and how do the reserves differ in ecological benefits from the other kinds of MDUs?
That's the different marine protection.
Well, the Mark has sort of described the major levels. The Cadillac level is a complete no-take marine reserve where no extractive activities are allowed. But there are areas where you might think, well, I have a marine reserve, but couldn't I take a few blades of kelp out of it in order to feed some abalone? There's a lot of kelp that grows quickly. And there may be times and places when taking some kelp or maybe catching salmon, if we're ever allowed to ever again, might be beneficial to fishermen, but not really impact the ability of that marine protected area to protect the habitat. So there's another category of marine protected areas, which is not full marine reserve, but allows take of certain sorts of species at certain places and certain times. So in front of the aquarium, for example, that is what's called a state marine conservation area, the Ed Rickett State Marine Conservation Area. It is not a fully protected marine reserve. Why? Because a certain amount of hand harvesting of kelp is allowed in that area in certain times of year. So even a little bit of extraction means that the designation changes. There are other marine conservation areas that have a lot more liberal use, and Rick will describe those.
Part of the reason why we have these different levels of conservation is that this process was an integrative process between scientists and user groups and resource managers. And during the stakeholder process, you know, the scientists were told that there were some social and economic issues that were going to be raised that would affect the placement of the marine reserves. Because one of our goals or criteria that we set is that the marine reserves should go from the shoreline out to the edge of state waters. And the reason for that is that many of the species we have here settling the kelp beds in nearshore areas as deep water and then move out into deeper waters as they grow. And so you want to protect species from their throughout their life stage, from the time they're small until they're large. And so our advice was to protect species in an entire corridor along in state waters. That posed a lot of problems for folks who wanted to fish for salmon. So they came back and said, will salmon fishing in this area, or sardine fishing in this area, affect the species that you're talking about? And that was a matter of discussion for many, many months among scientists and user groups, and so we learned about it. And the consensus of the scientific community was that if that salmon passing through an area was caught, that would have no difference on the ecosystem than if that salmon had been caught outside the marine protected area. And so our advice was that limited fishing for, or limited activities, in some cases kelp harvest, would not affect the value of that area as a marine protected area for a few species. And so that was this iterative process that Mark talked about in terms of discussing with the stakeholders about, well, we, you know, this would really help us economically if we were be allowed to do this kind of activity. What do you think about that? And so we discussed it, and we looked at it from an ecosystem level protection and decided that some of those activities would be appropriate. And then we came up with the different levels of protection.
And one thing to add to that is in the process of doing that, we also produced a more focused management tool. Remember I mentioned that for the first time now we have a tool that allows managers to ask how do these ecosystems respond in the presence and absence of fishing. But when you allow particular kinds of fishing, now you can even focus that question to what is the consequence of that particular activity? And a really nice example of this came up in the North Central Study Region, where crabbing is a very big deal, right? And so there was much concern about our knowledge of the ecosystem-wide effects of crabbing and whether that really should be allowed or not. And when we turn to try and identify an example of where crabbing was prohibited along the somewhere along the coast to determine whether it had an effect, we had to go to Glacier Bay, Alaska. So nowhere else along the coast is there a place where crabbing was prohibited that would allow us to make this comparison. Now in the North Central Study Region, we have several places where crabbing is allowed, and it's about the only thing allowed, and other places, reserves, where it's not allowed. So for the first time in the history of North America, we have a tool for actually understanding the ecosystem effects